Hello, Drive Through It Your Friends. We are live on air right now, and this is your host, Anisha. And my partner in crime, Valentin Tup, is not there today, so we are going to talk to one of our wonderful guests. First time on the show, Guri Kushner. Guri, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Anisha. Happy to be here.
Well, we are honored to have you here with us, Guri. Guri, our Drive Through HR style is, you know, we will let you introduce yourself so that our audience can learn more about you, can know you better than, you know, they've known before. So do us a favor, please introduce yourself so that our audience can learn more about you.
I'd be happy to. I'm Guri Kushner. I'm the founder and president of Kushner & Company. We are an HR strategy, consulting, and administration firm headquartered in the metropolis of Kalamazoo, Michigan, here in the U.S. Our firm has been around 32 years, and our belief is that organizations have been moving in the direction of finally realizing that human resources and having a focused and engaged workforce is, in fact, where most of them get a competitive advantage. And so we try to help them through HR strategy, some organizational development. Lately, we've been spending a lot of time in actual implementation and strategizing and implementation around the ACA, healthcare reform. But we consider ourselves as HR assistants, if you will, to organizations large and small. So it's interesting. It's interesting work. We get to talk to all sorts of people all around the world.
Wow, that is amazing, because when you get to talk to people all around the world, you are really, you know, keeping your fingers on the pulse of the global HR and the global workforce strategies, I hope. So let us move on to the question of our next 30 minutes. That is, what is keeping you up at night these days?
Well, there's a number of things, a few things keeping me up, but a lot of things keeping our clients up. And maybe we can touch on a couple of those. One of the things keeping me up at night is, on a very broad scale, seeing the disconnect between what senior leaders in organizations are looking for from HR, and in some organizations, what HR is able to deliver. And there seems to be a bit of a gap in some organizations, mostly the smaller and mid-sized organizations, where HR is serving a wonderful role, but tending to be more on the compliance side and less on strategy. And what I'm hearing from senior leaders in organizations is the need for HR to, you know, of course, make sure everything is in compliance, but spending more time on strategy and linking to the organization's strategy. And so that's always something that makes for interesting conversations when I talk to an HR professional in an organization, or my folks do, and then if we talk to the CEO or CFO in an organization. There's good news.
Uh-huh.
Sure. No, there's some good news in that it's getting better. Right.
It is getting better, yeah. But that's great to hear.
It is.
Before we get to what's keeping your clients up at night, Guri, we would really appreciate if you can give our audience a little bit of tips and techniques on, you know, why this disconnect is happening and how can they fix it.
Well, boy, that's the golden question. I think what the reason this has happened in some organizations is that, and it's not HR's fault, I don't think. What we tend to see from time to time is HR evolved, you know, from the 1940s and 50s out of a personnel mindset. And personnel was all about, you know, keeping everything right in the files and making sure that every law was followed correctly, you know, that the organization didn't step out of bounds. And many of today's older senior leaders in organizations grew up with HR in that more personnel role. And so their view of what they thought they wanted out of HR and what they initially asked for out of HR often was at that compliance and tactical end, the very operational end of HR. Today, what we're seeing are the senior leaders saying, almost in contradiction to that, yeah, that's important, but, you know, get us further. Take us to that next step, because if our people are going to be, if we're going to have an engaged and focused workforce, we're going to need people accomplishing, we're going to need HR to make sure we have good HR strategy so our people can be accomplishing the organization's goals and objectives. And in some of these organizations, the HR professional may aspire to that, but may or may not have the toolkits to be able to do that. So what do they need to think about and the tips and techniques? Well, first, they need to get a good grasp on their own organization and how it competes, how it creates organizational value. And I know that sounds kind of elementary for a lot of seasoned HR professionals, but it's amazing to me that we still see a lot of HR pros who, if you ask them about what makes their business work, how do they compete, are they competing on the basis of price leadership or cost leadership, are they using as an organization a differentiation strategy, the HR professional may not understand or may not know. And so they have to get, you know, knee deep in just how their organization operates. And then they need to understand and be able to apply HR strategies in talent acquisition and then in talent management, you know, performance management, total rewards, training and development, and employee engagement. And HR professionals I talk to have most of the tools in their tool chest, but may not know how to apply it in their organization's setting.
So that is actually, they don't know how to connect the dots when it comes to business and making business decisions, I guess. So, and in fact, that is one of the major reasons that normally when we talk about this kind of a topic, when there is a disconnect between executives and HR, the lack of business knowledge that is there among the HR professional is quite, what would I say, it is a burning issue nowadays. But to your point, you know, how can HR improve that, or how should they be developing their knowledge on how their organization works or how their business runs? Is there something that you would suggest that probably get along with executives or take some special projects that they would be able to know or learn different aspects of the business?
Well, that's actually one of the best ways they can, roll up their sleeves and begin to learn. Much of it can be just in discussions with senior leaders within the organization so that the HR professional can better understand the organization's strategic plan and how it's competing. So, you know, if I'm in a retail environment, the way that just to use two far-flung examples, but in the same industry, the way a Walmart and a Nordstrom compete are on two opposite ends of the scale. And it's very important to understand that in HR, and I would argue that in those two large organizations, their HR professionals probably do have a very good idea of how this works. But I'm just using these as examples. Those HR strategies that would be highly successful at Walmart would fail miserably at Nordstrom and vice versa. And so if you swapped the CHROs of both organizations and told them you can only use the HR strategies that you know from your previous organization, in very little time, both would fail. And the reason, of course, is that one organization focuses its primary, at the organizational level, focuses primarily on cost leadership and driving down the cost, recognizing that its marketplace is driven by price. And as soon as they lose the price battle, they lose market share. Well, the HR strategies in that environment are going to be very different than at a Nordstrom, where they're doing service differentiation as the way they compete, and the HR strategies around talent acquisition, for example, and around total rewards. In total rewards at a Walmart, you're going to be looking to, in many positions, lag the market. Your comp philosophy, your rewards philosophy will be a lag philosophy. At a Nordstrom, you're going to be at a lead philosophy. And so if I try to apply, I'm in the same arena, in the same industry, but if I try to apply the same strategies, I'm going to drive both of them out of business. And our best example of that is actually Kmart, if I'm in the retail space, where they tried to do both. They try at one point, they were the Walmart of its day, and yet tried to then go and move to a differentiation model, and all of their HR practices, a number of other areas as well, marketing and elsewhere, but caused a fairly quick decline in their success.
Well, while we were talking about, you know, the cost and budget, well, HR should know what they have in their hand, and only they can look for a candidate who can fit into that budget, right? Not just the candidate, but whatever they are doing, even if it is a performance management system or if it is a reward process or if they are doing something that is related to corporate social responsibility as well. So while we were talking about budget and cost, you know, the relationship between CFOs and HR is always complicated, right?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So what would you suggest that one thing that CFOs need to know about HR and HR needs to know about CFOs?
Well, what the CFO needs to know about HR is that they need to make sure that they're holding HR to the outcomes that the organization is going to need. That is, what HR should be delivering, of course, are all of the traditional HR roles, but how well is HR positioning the workforce to meet the current and future demands of the organization? And where in some organizations, we see the CFO and the HR leader in not exactly in collaboration, but rather in conflict very often.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a very collaborative relationship that HR is, it's well established what outcomes HR needs to deliver for the organization and then is able to meet those outcomes. And that is a negotiation between the CFO and HR. What HR needs from the CFO is an understanding that while, and budgets of course are important, there's only so many dollars for the organization. What HR needs is good direction, and actually HR needs to help provide some leadership on how can we best maximize the limited dollar resources that we have. So for talent acquisition, for example, maybe our approach ought to be one based on the need of the organization, based on hires for fit rather than primarily hire for skill. You know, the traditional mm-hmm. method has always been a hire for skill. You post a job, I need a college degree and 5 to 8 years experience. And then we get our best employee, our best candidate selected and on the job. And it turns out, while they have that great experience, they don't work well in a team. and we're a team environment. Well, that's a problem because we're going to have some turnover there or some underperformance and performance management issues where if I'm focusing on hire for fit, for example, I may be able to maximize those dollars and then get that employee into the organization, train them on the specifics of the job, and have a much better outcomes, much better performance. That's just, you know, one example. But it's a great discussion item in an organization of what should the CFO expect from HR and what should HR be delivering to the organization as a whole.
It's a whole different conversation, right, Gary? All right. I stopped you when you started talking about what's keeping your clients up at night. So let's move on to that conversation.
Well, it's a whole range of things. I'm going to pick two, because in the last week, I've gotten a few calls on both of these, and I think it's funny. It's not funny, haha, but it's funny that it's just because of the where we are in the year. So we get into the fourth quarter, and suddenly every employer is very concerned about. In the U.S., every employer is concerned now about the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, and what they have to do in preparation for 2015. And there's numbers of things that they should be doing, well, numbers of things they should have been doing for the past probably year and a half, but if they haven't done them, that they certainly need to do now. One is to figure out if they are what's called in the Act an applicable large employer, an ALE, because if they are and if they have 100 or more FTEs, there are all sorts of the new employer shared responsibility provisions that kick in this year. And if they haven't done any planning yet around that and any calculations, they really need to get started now. They should really be finishing up in the next, if they haven't, they should be finishing up in just the next few weeks because 2015 will be here and all sorts of ACA issues are going to be upon them. The second thing that, and I just had three calls in the last probably 2-3 days, was around performance management because, yep, we're getting near the end of the year and what do we do about our performance management tool or our performance management system? And while the organization isn't going to be able to solve that between now and the end of the year, many are now at least beginning to think about that yet again. What's keeping the senior HR leader and senior organization leaders up at night on performance management is that it seems like everybody hates the process, everybody hates the tool, and they have different, they look at it through a different lens, but nobody seems to have an idea of how to begin to examine it and begin to replace it. So, you know, employees tell their managers that they hate the annual review, for example, because it doesn't tend to represent the entire year. There's a recency effect that many see. You know, have you been performing the last 2 weeks or month, not the last 12?
Exactly.
They tell us there's no linkage or not a meaningful linkage to total rewards or development opportunities that you know, an organization may have an incentive pay plan, a performance-based pay plan, but it doesn't differentiate the true superstars from the average employees or even in some cases from what I would call the C players, the laggards. I talked to a CFO three months ago, that was very proud of the incentive comp program that he had in his organization. This was a good-sized organization. And when he started talking about it, said, you know, we give everybody 3% at the end of the year. We had a nice bonus pool. We gave them all 3%. And I said, you gave everybody 3%? He said, yeah, that was our performance. We had a good year as an organization. said, well, how did you differentiate your A's and B's and C players? And he said, well, we didn't. Everybody got three. It started asking because the human resource professional was sitting there and just sort of looking down. And I said, well, you mean if you have your superstars, your A players, and they get 3% and they look across the cube and they see a C player getting 3%, how long do you think that A player is going to remain an A player? And the CFO said, I guess I hadn't thought of that, but how else could we do it? And just sitting there, the HR professional looked up and looked at me, and I said, well, just off the top of my head, if you had a bell curve, if you gave 6% of comp to your A players and 3% to your B players and 0% to your C players, you'd have spent the same amount of money. And he kind of looked at me for a second and said, you know, that's exactly right. I never thought of it that way. So there's this disconnect in an organization. And you know,
that is actually hilarious.
Wouldn't you think at, in this day and age, people would have figured this out at some point? And I knew in talking to the HR professional afterwards, she had told him, she told him that their program wasn't well designed, but he wasn't listening because he was all about the numbers. Well, at the end of the day, I can make the same numbers work, in lots of different ways. It's how can I best, you know, what we talked about earlier, how can I best spend the organization's limited resources? Well, that's one way if I'm building an incentive comp program. When you ask senior leaders what their problems with performance management is, they talk about the disconnect or the lack of a correlation between how the individual or team, the team approach or department approach meets their performance objectives and whether or not the organization meets it. So that there's, in essence, no alignment. All the departments are reporting that the teams are all doing well, all the individuals are doing well, we've met all our objectives, and yet the senior leaders look at the financials, they look at market share, they look at all sorts of different metrics and say, but we're not hitting our objectives. Well, that means that either the strategies weren't correct, the metrics weren't correct, or there's a total disconnect in how performance is being done within the organization. And so it's rebuilding from the top down how the organization sets its strategic goals and objectives, its targets, what metrics they look at, and then driving it down through the organization at the department level, the team level, and at the individual level, and then matching the outcomes back up. And so when HR can deliver that connection, it becomes a real player within the organization.
Well, while we were talking about delivering that connection, and in fact, that disconnect that you told in the very beginning, how can this organization, and especially the managers, drive engagement by focusing on performance? Because the point that you said in the very beginning is like getting everybody the same amount of rewards and recognition is not that fair. If there is an A player, he has to be recognized in such a manner that only he will be motivated or engaged, and he wanted to keep up that performance, right?
It's exactly right.
Gary, it would be great if you can talk about how should organization focus on driving engagement by focusing on the performance of their employees.
Probably the best thing it could do is at the top of the organization, make sure there's alignment in each of the strategic objectives that the department or the business unit or the team is taking up, and ensuring at the beginning of the process, at the beginning of the year, if you will, that all of the correct targets and goals have been well established, the metrics are well defined, and then drive down a negotiation on what outcomes that that individual or team or department is going to be expected to achieve. And as long as you can focus, the managers can focus on outcomes and a negotiated outcome at the beginning. So here's what we expect. Here are the resources, time resources, people resources, dollar resources we're going to be able to apply. Here's the toolkit, if you will, that you have to work with, Mr. or Ms. Employee. And here are the expected outcomes. And that's a negotiation. That's not a, you know, here's what you need to do. It's a negotiation because many employees, if not most, have multiple outcomes that have to be achieved. And then throughout the course of the year, whether on a weekly, a monthly, in our organization here at Kushner & Company, we actually have some of our employees on a daily basis collecting and looking at data all tied to outcomes measures and getting immediate feedback. Other employees maybe only get that every week or 2 weeks. Some get it only once a month, but there's constant examination of those outcomes. Well, at the end of the year, it becomes very easy then to roll up all of that data that's been collected throughout the year, those negotiations on targets hit, targets missed, but how are they going to be hit later or renegotiated for additional resources later throughout the year, so that by the end of the year, everything is accomplished. At that point, you've really hit a number of the items that the engagement research tells us employees want. They want to know how they fit into the bigger picture, how what their role is within the organization. I know the story's been told over and over, and I'm not even sure if it was ever really true, but it makes for a great story that in the 1960s, John F. Kennedy was supposed to have gone to Houston to visit NASA during the race for the moon, and came upon a janitor on the Saturn V rocket floor and asked the janitor, "So tell me what you're doing." And the janitor says, "Well, I'm helping put a man on the moon." Well, that is probably the epitome of employee engagement. That janitor understood what his part was of the overarching mission of the organization. Well, for employees to have that, their managers have to be able to show them how everything fits together. And employees tend, if they buy the mission, they tend to become very highly engaged.
Well, Gary, it's been a wonderful conversation, and thank you so much for joining with us at Drive Through HR. So where can our audience connect with you and probably get to know more details about what you do and get a hold of you?
Well, everybody is more than welcome to come visit our website. We provide lots of resources there within many different aspects of the HR world. That website is at www.kushnerco, that's KUSHNERCO.com. And they can reach me at gary.kushner@kushnerco.com anytime with any questions they may have.
All right. So thanks, Gary, and have a wonderful rest of the day. And that was Gary Kushner. Connect with him on Twitter at Gary, G-A-R-Y, Kushner, K-U-S-H-N-E-R. So that's it, and we will talk to you all tomorrow. Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Nisha.